Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. While this is technically a Michigan-Purdue preview episode, between the point spread for that game and obviously other things that have gone on during Michigan's bye week, you know, we'll get to the Michigan-Purdue game at the end, but most of this is probably going to be talking about what's been popularly phrased as Signgate and some of the situations surrounding the NCAA's investigation into Michigan for improper scouting, I guess would be the way to phrase it. Plenty has happened since our last episode. We're not going to be able to get into all of it, but we do want to offer some of our thoughts on some of the bigger topics, and the big thing going on the past 24 hours or so definitely seems to be a campaigned pressure put on the Big Ten to do something. What that is, coaches, the anonymous coaches speaking, don't seem to get into detail. I mean, I'm sure they would prefer a ban from the championship game or whatever, but be sure to read more about this over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan@247sports.com. I think the last 24 hours, in addition to seeing this, I mean, I guess it's just a continuation of what we saw last week, which just felt like a pretty transparently organized stream of leaks or releases or anonymous quotes or message board rumors being reported as facts. It seems very agenda-driven or strategic, I should say. You know, the NCAA has said nothing publicly. Michigan football has said nothing publicly. Yet somehow every day, sometimes even twice a day, it seems like different national media publications or kind of fringe media people on Twitter seem to have a new thing, a new set of evidence, a new set of anonymous quotes, a new set of speculation. And Steve, I think you and I are fairly in agreement that sounds very much like Connor Stallions, at the very least, paid people to go scout Michigan's future opponents. That those dots seem to be connected. I think the remaining questions are a lot more up in the air. How much did Michigan's coaches know? You know, what will the NCAA do, since there isn't really an explicit punishment set for this kind of penalty? It's not even 100% clear what the NCAA's interpretation of the rule is going to be. Obviously, they view it as close enough to a couple violations that it's worth investigating, but I still think there's a lot of ambiguity on like what is going to happen from here on out. You and I are not in denial of Michigan doing some sort of taking the advanced scouting further than other teams do. We'll see what happens in terms of punishment, but I think both of us have a bone to pick, have sentiments about just how orchestrated the media push has been. It feels very transparent to me that a bunch of coaches who won't say anything when asked about it in press conferences, but when they have anonymity, you know, all of a sudden the gloves come off. All of a sudden they are irate. This is an affront to college football. This is complete competitive advantage. It's the allegedly the only reason Michigan is 30 whatever in three over the past three seasons, which you and I don't agree with, but it does seem interesting that, yeah, it just seems like it's an orchestrated effort to, I guess, try to foster Michigan's downfall. It seemed like last week there was a big push because all these stories were accompanied with rumors that Harbaugh might bolt to the NFL. Well, now there's a lot of reports that he isn't bolting to the NFL and that, in fact, our site, Sam Webb, had a report last night in which he indicated he is now 95% confident that Michigan and Harbaugh will sign an extension. Well, does it seem a little coincidental that as soon as that kind of chatter started happening, all of a sudden all these Big Ten coaches are screaming at the Big Ten commissioner saying, you got to get him out of the, you got to get Michigan out of the championship game. So I guess to me, and Steve, I want to get your thoughts because you were the one that actually called me and said, we got to talk about some of this stuff. But it seems to me pretty not so coincidental, not so subtle, that as soon as Harbaugh is getting a rumored extension, well, now suddenly the push is on the Big Ten to do something this year. I think initially it felt like last week the push was accompanied by, oh, Harbaugh will probably bolt to the NFL and whatever. Michigan will hire a worse coach and la-di-da. Now it seems like that Harbaugh's kind of digging his heels in and sticking around for a while. Now it seems like there's a push on the Big Ten. So Steve, I think, you know, you and I kind of similar pages in terms of clearly Michigan did something. I have a hard time believing the NCAA would just say, ah, nothing to see here, especially now. But the media frenzy has felt very strategic. It's felt very pointed at trying to make this trying to almost speak for either the NCAA or Michigan's rivals. Like it really feels like that is who is advocating. And Michigan, they're not allowed to say anything. So it's an easy target for people who are trying to get after Michigan. But yeah, it just feels like there's been story after story. And I think all of them follow the same pattern where it's either based off speculation, rumor, anonymous coaches, or anonymous sources, I should say. And then there does seem to be an effort in the editorial parts of the stories to build the story up and to say this is a big deal when, as you'll probably point out in more detail, a couple years ago, the NCAA almost got rid of this rule because it provided little competitive advantage. And then a couple years ago, also, The Athletic reported that, what, did you say 80 to 90% of coaches, or coaches believe 80 to 90% of other programs?
Yeah.
Participate in at least some sort of sign stealing. So Steve, I think you're on the same page as me about this media. It feels very pointed, intentional, and strategic from the people who are providing these anonymous quotes and rumors.
Yeah, I mean, I had to like calm down before I talked about, because like, and I'll preface it the same thing as you, Zach. When we actually hear facts, then we can actually talk about what the next course of action may or may not be, right? But to this point, I don't believe there has been, I mean, I think the list of actual facts that are known about, we don't even know exactly what is being alleged.
That's correct. Yeah, the NCAA has not said that. What everyone is basing it off of is ESPN's report, which, I mean, not hard to read that story and think the NCAA probably provided this information. But yeah, there's no actual, and I do think the NCAA probably owes it to college football, because everyone on both sides is so misinformed. Whether I know Michigan fans have strong feelings, I know people who don't like Michigan have strong feelings, and everyone seems misinformed, or at least ill-informed, to the point where the rumors, the speculation get to run wild because the NCAA hasn't come out and said anything yet.
Right. The only things the NCAA have said is what they have fed ESPN Pete, Ross Dellinger, and whoever, the ones who have completely made a total joke out of this entire story from the beginning. Yeah, like I said, I mean, and that's where it begins, is that we don't even know what is alleged yet. I mean, how ridiculous is this that we have publications writing articles quoting anonymous Big Ten coaches? Like, what is this? 18 hours, not even, after Sam's report about the 95% chance of the contract, and they already have anonymous Big Ten coaches crying like babies anonymously about Harbaugh potentially getting a new contract, when they probably wouldn't, they would almost have no clue what is actually still being investigated. I'd love to know if, and I'm just throwing, these are not, I'm just, this is not what I'm, but like a Tom Allen or a Mike Loxley, like, do you think that they're sitting in their offices like that? You think they know what the facts are in this situation? There'd be no, there's almost no way that that's even possible. So yeah, you have publications and then pundits like little Stewie Mandel always has his a guy who hasn't even. But this is before we've even gotten this far. This was a week ago. Already crying about Michigan potentially being in the Big Ten title game and the college football playoff when we're still sitting here a week later and we don't even know what exactly Michigan is being investigated for. It's pitiful. You know, anyone that has any knowledge of the background on some of this stuff, like ESPN Pete is a guy that Harbaugh refused to answer one of his, I don't even remember what the question was, but this is 2 years ago, 3 years ago, refused to answer his question at the Big Ten Media Day. I think his comment was something about like, you're only here to stir things up, you know, cause we're talking about ESPN Pete has been Urban Meyer's lapdog going back to his Florida days with the Cam Newton leaving Florida to go to Auburn situation, where if I recall correctly, you know, I'm sure Cam Newton got something to go to Auburn, but nothing was ever actually like proven, you know, and he was the one leading the charge there on behalf of Urban Meyer. And so it's basically been coordinated. That's why this has all come out so slowly. That's why it's all come out during Michigan's bye week too. There's no game for Michigan to distract. I mean, it did come out shortly before the Michigan State game, but I mean, it's continued though. And it has been painfully slow. And there's definitely, you know, reasons for that. So don't care about the rival fans like chugging copium over this story, you know, particularly Ohio State fans who can't get over the fact that Michigan annihilated them the last two seasons. I'm almost waiting for one of these guys to write a column asking, has Michigan ever really ever beaten Ohio State? You know, that's how ridiculous this has gotten. And so again, if it comes out factually that Michigan did stretch these rules to a point that of where it's worth legitimate penalties, then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But the problem is so many quote unquote responsible publications and people they crossed that bridge 2 weeks ago, and it's pitiful. So, you know, maybe the reason that some of these guys are so confident is because the NCAA is feeding them the information. But it just does feel like a little bit of a double, you know, and to go back to Ohio State, I'm surprised we haven't seen more about the, you know, last year it was, well, Georgia planted a camera in the Georgia Dome before the national semifinal. That was the rumor going around then. Before that, it was Brent Venables in Clemson stealing Ohio State signals. It's been almost constant when it comes to it. But I guess my thing is, where was the investigation? If for a national semifinal game, if it's such an egregious deal, it was every story I found about the Georgia situation were all written on December 29th, 2022, which means that story started and ended that day, which is pretty crazy to me. If there were actually rumors that Georgia had planted a camera, Kirby Smart was asked about it, and he and Todd Monken just got to laugh it off and say, that's ridiculous. And that was the end of the story. So my issue, and we talked about this before we got on, Zach, for Michigan fans out there, I really don't think this is as much about it being this coordination, this seemingly like, yeah, just the way this is all going. I don't think it's anti-Michigan. I do think it's anti-Harbaugh. I think there are members of the media that
yes,
would love to be the one to take Harbaugh down. You know, there's this warped Woodward Bernstein crap like that. They want to be the investigative reporter that brought Jim Harbaugh down. I don't really necessarily think it's too much anti-Michigan. A couple of the guys I mentioned before, maybe, but either way, that is by far my biggest gripe with the situation right now is that The Athletic has written a couple different, done it, published a couple different articles over the last 3 or 4 years, basically literally writing that sign stealing is an open secret in college football, and that quote, 80 to 90% of the teams in the country do it. They have Jim Knowles quoted as saying 75% of the teams in the country, you know, steal signs. Okay, not a big deal then. Now it's everything. And again, if it comes out that Michigan was going beyond just stealing signs and that this was some whatever, okay. But we don't even know if, like, how much more they're being accused of right now. So either way, you know, it goes from 80 to 90 coaches to this, like, weird ass poll they did the other day about with they asked 50, of course, anonymous coaches who have literally nothing. I actually am impressed that 17 out of the 50 said that they have somebody that steals signs on staff. I mean, you're anonymous, you know, but all of a sudden 17 out of 50, which is like, I haven't done math in a long time, but it's a little less than 40%, but you know how it goes from 80 to 90% to less than 40%, and then try to, like, promote this as if this, like, which one's representative then, you know, it just, the whole thing's the coverage of this has been god awful. I mean, there's just no way around it. And I understand Harbaugh's a very attractive target and that there might be something here, but like I said, you have people that should not have made up their minds on what this is until the end, who have already made up their minds about what this is. And it's kind of sick. It's ridiculous. So yeah, there's way more. I'll say this, I'm going to cover recruiting a little bit differently than I did before, maybe to some extent with the it's like, you know, like I said to you, Zach, before we got on, Nick Saban tells the media that Jimbo Fisher bought A&M's number one class a couple of years ago, and it's literally a one-day story, even though we all know that Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M bought their number one class. It's ridiculous. I thought, like, for us at 24/7, the blue chip ratio, the team talent composite, clear correlation in those two things and who wins national championships. Roster building is the safest way to cheat in this sport, because the NCAA is never going to do anything about it with recruiting. I mentioned Tennessee, who really didn't even get busted. They were actually able to free up $13 million off of their Jeremy Pruitt contract by probably self-leaking to the NCAA what was going on so that they could fire him with cause.
18 so, level one violations.
Yep. Which
Harbaugh was suspended 3 games, and he might be suspended more for one subjective level one violation that stemmed from 4 level two recruiting violations.
Correct. Thank you for that context. I couldn't remember how many level ones Tennessee had, but it was a lot. But point being, Tennessee's in a better spot now than they were before their investigation. You know, they got out of all that money. Their recruiting hasn't hurt. Their recruiting's still doing fine, even though former 24/7 Sports Recruiter of the Year, I can't remember the dude's name, but he's now, I think he's like the linebackers coach for IMG Academy now. All these coaches around the country still doing a really, quote, great job recruiting these kids. You know, it's just, there's just, it's such a joke, you know, why Michigan would follow the book as much as they have recruiting wise when A, there's no incentive to do otherwise, and B, the NCAA hasn't shown that they're going to do anything about it with any of these schools, yet they'd have a dude dress up like Charlie Chaplin on the Central Michigan sideline to cover a scout, a crappy Michigan State team. Just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So
just a couple things regarding the Harbaugh specific, I don't, maybe not hate, the Harbaugh specific contempt that the media seems to have, that coaches seem to have in terms of anonymous coaches. I don't blame them for saying what they have to say. They literally have nothing to lose from Michigan's downfall and everything to gain. If Michigan gets hit with some sanctions or penalties or whatever, that's going to help every other Big Ten coach and probably every other Power Five coach in recruiting, in transfer portal players, whether it's Michigan players leaving or recruiting players who have hit the portal. It's going to help because Michigan would potentially lose assistant coaches or head coaches or whatever. And it also helps them clear a path to a Big Ten championship game, to the postseason, to bowl games, to wins. So yeah, if you get coaches anonymously, they're going to root for the downfall of every single other program that they are with. And I think that's especially true because Harbaugh, ever since he arrived at Michigan, he's never been a part of the boys club of college football head coaches. I think there's a lot of coaches out there who, you know, they didn't have a pro career, or if they did, it was very brief. and who kind of rose through the ranks. They met, you know, built a network when they were like recruiting staffers or GAs. Then as when they were position coaches, they like bounced around a little bit. They had, you know, these networks built, maybe they became coordinators. It seems like there's like this very chummy, almost fraternity like group of coaches who all kind of either worked with each other or crossed paths here and there. Harbaugh, first round NFL draft pick, played in the NFL 17 years, immediately, you know, does 1 year as an NFL assistant, immediately gets a head coaching job, and he's been head coach ever since. And he doesn't do, he might do it among Michigan fans. I'm not saying he never does, but in terms of around the coaches, I've seen it at, you know, different media events. He is not like a jovial, small talk, gift of gab coach. You know, he's very serious about his business. He does not feel like he needs to be chummy with all these different coaches at recruiting events. And obviously he's not like an alien, right? I mean, he will have conversations, but you can tell, and Steve, maybe you've noticed it too. He's not like this. He's not part of their boys club fraternity, you know, chummy, like most coaches in college football. One other coach who I know is not a part of that boys club, and I think he's getting scrutinized for a lot of different reasons, but it does feel like it's a similar level of like pile on whenever he slips up, is Deion Sanders. They are not the same, but Deion Sanders, obviously very successful athletic career of his own, doesn't immediately get handed a Power 5 job. Neither did Harbaugh, but you know, his head coach kind of climbs up on in his own way. He doesn't necessarily come up the same way that a lot of the coaches that I'm referring to came up. And so I think, you know, when there's a chance to pile on Harbaugh, I think a lot of coaches will take it, not just rooting for Michigan's downfall, because that benefits them in 20 different ways. But also, I think there is a contempt in terms of the media. I have it on decent authority. I mean, you guys can see after the game how he treats the post game interview that they do on TV. Like, that bothers, you know, he's like that with a lot of national media. A lot of coaches, when ESPN calls and wants a tour of the facilities, or ESPN calls and they want, or other publications, I don't mean to pick on just ESPN, when different national publications call and want tours of the facilities or one-on-one interviews with national reporters or come on our show to talk about this, most coaches kind of say yes all the time to national media. I have it on decent authority that Harbaugh says no, at least a couple people have told me, more than any coach in college football. You don't think that plays a role? You don't think when there's a chance to, you know, take your pinata swing, you don't think that they try to do that? You don't think that reporters who have been denied interviews that they get from everyone else, who have been had questions go unanswered or questions scoffed at, or exclusive access not granted, that they can get at a lot of other top 10 programs. So you combine the two, and suddenly it's national reporters. And by the way, he doesn't give local reporters much access either in terms of that stuff. It's not like he's given us VIP tours of anything or one-on-one interviews. It's just not a fan of the media, Jim Harbaugh. You don't think when there's a chance for coaches and media, and I don't know, we'll see. But maybe even the NCAA seems like they're not big fans. I mean, they literally broke their protocol with an angry statement. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's the other thing. That's when I lost some confidence in that whole, because for a governing body to release such a trash statement in the middle of an investigation, I mean, that was so out of left field, so unnecessary. I don't know if they've ever done that before.
It would be hard for us to tell, right?
I mean, it'd be hard to look back and find, but either way, at the very least, extremely uncommon.
Yes, right? Unprecedented. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like, so that, I'm glad so you Steve, mentioned guess, that. That was, yeah, sorry.
I guess what I'm saying is, I think Harbaugh, and some of it's not his fault, but some of it, you know, just he's not going to do the shoot the breeze, small talk, friendly, jovial approach with people who aren't his players, his coaches. He's very singular focused. Every reporter who has ever asked Jim Harbaugh a question would agree, I think, with that approach. So you don't think when there's a chance, when there's like some free punches, because again, Michigan can't punch back. They can't respond. Maybe someday they will, or someday they can. But which,
by the way, real quick before you, as you said that, now we've had Harbaugh mention at least once that he wishes that they would love to be able to speak on it if they couldn't. I believe Jesse Minter said the exact same thing. Was it yesterday or the other day in his press conference as well? Right. That was his exact answer was I'd love to speak on it if I could. So it's not as if Michigan's just out here giving no comments, which is could easily be the answer, I suppose, in these situations. But I don't know. Maybe that's nothing. Maybe it's semantics.
I kind of wonder if that's just them breaking the tension a little
stance.
Bit. It is factually hard to sit there and be asked a bunch of questions that you are told you're not allowed to answer.
Right.
And
But probably some frustration on their end too. I mean,
more frustrated about this than Michigan coaches. I mean, we'll find out just, you know, how much each coach knew, but yeah, you're preparing to play Michigan State. Your team is the best team you've had in at least a generation. And I would argue based on how Michigan is playing right now, maybe even multiple generations. You have one of the all-time best teams in history. You have players who turned down millions to come back and play for this team, and they're working hard. You finally put together the envisionment of the roster you've always dreamed of. You don't really have major weaknesses. You have depth everywhere. You have experience everywhere. So yeah, if you're a coach or you're a player, I mean, and then suddenly it's, as of right now, a low-level staffer was taking his job of noticing team signs, because again, that is not against rules. But he took that job perhaps too far enough that the NCAA is investigating. And suddenly, like, everything's being questioned. Your 33-3 record the past three seasons is fraudulent, even though they won 26 of those games by 21 points or more. They have beaten 12 of the 13 other Big Ten teams by at least three touchdowns at least once in the last 2.5 seasons. And so, yeah, no, nobody is more frustrated about this than Michigan is. And I'm sure that, yeah, and to be muzzled by the NCAA, I mean, I think it's a fair thing. I think that would really, I don't think that should be a different precedent, because if teams are allowed to complain about the NCAA or share information during an investigation, I think that would be a thread you don't really want to pull. So I get it. But yeah, you don't think they would love to leak anonymous quotes to reporters? You don't think they would love to go on a podcast or have a press conference and offer their thoughts and offer their speculation on who they think is cheating? Because I'll tell you this, Steve, I'm sure you're in the same boat. I have heard about plenty of cheating that Michigan thinks other teams are doing, and it's not just recruiting.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's you know, and it's rumors, it's stuff that they can't verify, but yeah, this has got to be a dream come true for some rival fan bases, because you always hear about, oh, well, such and such is using steroids, or such and such is picking signs, or such and such is practicing more than they're allowed to practice. I mean, there's all that stuff, but it doesn't usually merit not only an NCAA investigation, but a storm where you have the national media, you have rival media types, you have an opportunity to speak anonymously. I mean, this has got to be, as Jim Harbaugh likes to say, a lot of coaches, a lot of reporters are in hog heaven right now, because they've been waiting. They were waiting for Jim Harbaugh. They were waiting for Michigan to slip up in a way that could be proven. And that's on Connor Stallions for sure. To leave a paper trail that was that traceable, people could figure out in 4 days, not delete your Venmo, not buy tickets in another name, I'm not encouraging any of what he's doing, obviously, but not use a burner phone. I mean,
that reminded me. Hey, that reminded me of the buying it in his own name. Reminded me of this is totally aside, but it's what it reminded me of a guy that used to work for my dad, broke into my dad's truck back in the day and took a couple checks out of it, out of like the company, like little checkbook or whatever.
Cash him in his name.
He wrote him in his own name. So when they realized that somebody had like some extra money was out of the account, all they had to do was look at the picture of the check, and it just said the guy's name on it. Like didn't even come as an employee, like writing it to cash or trying to write it in as cash or something. Just wrote their own name, like just, you know, like world's dumbest criminal level
right,
you know. So,
and that's always like a fun radio segment, is such and such committed this crime and they got caught because they did the, you know, the dumbest thing. So look, not encouraging way, but the fact that it's so that there's like enough paper trail that it's proven that the rumors, the message board speculation has like come to life a little bit. Yeah, coaches, certain national media members, they've been waiting a long time because Michigan and Harbaugh have held themselves to this kind of highbrow, tough to beat the cheaters. You know, we're the program that does it the clean way. You know, they've held themselves to that standard. And, you know, again, we'll see what the NCAA finds. But yeah, a lot of entities were waiting for a moment like this to be able to punch in a way that Michigan can't punch back. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I to me, Steve, I don't know if you feel the same way. I feel like the fact that Michigan's back on board with extending Jim Harbaugh and Harbaugh's back on board with agreeing to an extension, and that's not official, that it just seems to be trending pretty strongly that way. That says to me that Michigan does not feel like this is going to be some sort of postseason ban, death penalty, you know, giant sanctions passed down. I mean, we'll see.
I don't know how. I don't know how you could take it any other way.
Right.
That part of it. The fact that, yeah, not only
because there's already another NCAA investigation. So if there was going to be more,
right,
or if Michigan felt like they were going to be implicated, because I do think it's a different story. If and I said we weren't going to get into all this, I think we're getting into all this, but I think it's a different story if Connor Stallions was acting on his own volition and making these decisions and didn't actually tell Michigan assistants about it, or if he did, it wasn't traceable.
I'm sorry, but I just can't truly fathom a Michigan staff member signing off on a guy dressing in disguise to watch Central freaking Michigan play Michigan State, dude. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make any sense. Michigan State stinks. Michigan did not need to do any advanced level scouting to beat Michigan State this year, let alone dress a guy up as a Central Michigan staffer. Like, I don't
From
even
a hilarity
know.
Standpoint,
It's comical. So it really is comical. But yeah,
because it's so, not like, implausible because of what we've heard about him.
It does
seem like this is a guy who really approached his job like he had absolutely nothing to lose, and that he wanted to out hustle everybody, and to the point where it sounds. Like ignored rules, unless it comes out that Michigan told him to do this. Sounds like he was all about the hustle, the grind, finding any way to stand out. Meanwhile, Harbaugh or Michigan's assistants, they have everything to lose. They have so much to lose if they're implicated in this. I mean, their jobs, their million-dollar salaries, a job that many would kill for. So yeah, I think Charles Woodson said it too. He's like, look, everyone knows this stuff is traceable, like phones, ticket scans, everything like that. And he basically said, I can't speak to what Michigan has done. I just have a hard time believing Jim would suscept himself to that, especially when he's been a pretty successful coach.
Dude, at every level.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I mean, they keep showing pictures of him next to like Minter and all this kind of crap. And like you said, like you talk about with them you're talking about multiple staff members right now who are probably in line to be a head coach at a major program within the next year or 2 years at the most. Again, feels very risky to sign off on this, this guy doing like whatever, you know, it just is so ridiculous that I just can't, it just doesn't make much sense. For Michigan to risk against Michigan's problem before COVID was Ohio State, not any other team in the conference. And even though like, did we already talk about the other quote from the Big Ten coach about how he went like this, they're whining about the contract, how he was on the hot seat before or after the COVID season and look at what happened. Well, like they were a play away from being in the Big Ten championship game or a game away. Three times in the 4 years prior to COVID also?
Like, I think twice, but they were
sorry,
in the
sorry, was it 19? 19 was the year. I'm sorry, 19 was the year they lost twice. Yeah. Anyway,
but in terms of that, in terms of that discussion, how about you ask Aiden Hutchinson, who's looking like one of the best defensive players in the NFL? Did he play a role, or are you going to say it was Connor Stallions? Mike McDonald is currently looking like one of the top three or four defensive coordinators in any level of football.
Yep.
Do you think he played a role? He's doing pretty well with the Ravens. Like, it's not like,
oh, I mean,
Michigan got better. Anyone who doesn't think Michigan got better, I mean, they had what, five top two first or second round draft picks from their defense, and they're about to have more from those defenses the past couple seasons. I mean, the run game, the fact that even with their struggles, NFL scouts still think Michigan has two of the top five running back prospects in the next year's NFL draft. JJ McCarthy, top 20 NFL draft pick. The last time Michigan had a top 20 projected NFL draft pick quarterback, what was it, 1948? I mean, it's like, look, there's a lot of reasons Michigan got better. And you can say, you know, maybe it played a role. I'm not in denial that Michigan perhaps used it to its advantage. But when you're beating teams by three touchdowns, having a good sense or even knowing, oh, they're going to run to the right, or oh, they're going to throw it here, that's not why they're winning by three touchdowns.
And
but that's not still, why they're winning. Yeah.
It still depends on what it is. Because we still don't know exactly what it is. You know, that's the biggest theme here, is like, this whole thing is like, I'm still waiting to hear. And again, it could be that the NCAA comes out and we're like, oh, wow, okay, they did that. But we don't even know what that still is. I'd say, you know, so that's been by far my biggest problem with this whole thing so far.
Yeah. The other thing about the whole Michigan only got good because of this, go look at their box scores. They were a second half team. Teams that have the other team signals are first half teams. And then the other team changes the signals, and then, you know, it's harder to adjust. Teams that have opposing team signals aren't going into like seven different games last season trailing at halftime, or I think it was nine where it was a one score game at halftime. I mean, they beat Ohio State in the second half. They beat Penn State in the second half. They beat Michigan State in the second half. They were a second half team through and through. And watch the game. Watch the game. It's not, they weren't acutely aware of every single play. I don't doubt that they might have had an advantage. I don't doubt that Stallions was really good at picking out signals. That might be part of why they were a second half team, is they saw the signals in the first half and were able to apply it to the second half. You know, part of the in-game adjustments that they often tout. Even this season, I mean, you know, they've been a lot better than everyone they've played, but yeah, it seems like that third quarter is kind of when they start to really pour it on. And that was true last year. That was true in 2021. So that's the only, I mean, look, we'll obviously, when there's facts, when there's stuff known,
yeah,
it might be a different tune, but in terms of sitting here right now, because here's the thing, if other Big Ten coaches want to speak anonymously and say those things when Michigan can't respond, like, they're not waiting for the facts. They're not waiting for the investigation. They want Michigan to be punished before the investigation for violating a sportsmanship policy. So in terms of there's a few things that I think Michigan will end up, or Michigan fans might end up eating their words on. Michigan was good the last 3 years, and not just good, elite, great, as good as they've been in a generation, no matter what the sign situation was, in my opinion. Because look at who was drafted. Look at where these coaches are interviewing. I mean, Mike McDonald, 1 year, goes to be the Ravens defensive coordinator. Jesse Minter, after 1 year, is a finalist for the Super Bowl runner-ups defensive coordinator position. You know, Sherrone Moore was turning down head coaching jobs, Power 5 head coaching jobs. Other coaches have turned down Group of 5 head coaching jobs, or, you know, promotions. Like, it's not just the signs, but
like
anyway, you know, Steve, anything else?
No. Well, just, it's hard to not put the Homer glasses on in this situation. You know, it's just, if you're an Ohio State fan and you want to go to bed at night convincing yourself that Michigan has never beaten Ohio State fair and square, then go ahead. Pretty pitiful existence, if you ask me, but go ahead.
One thing I'll say in defense of Michigan State, Ohio State fans, I think if the shoe was on the other foot and say Michigan State had beaten Michigan 2 years in a row,
it comes with the territory. Yes, I agree.
They would all be saying the same thing. I agree,
but it's I say this is kind of weird for me. Like, my animosity rivalry wise is actually has usually more lied with Michigan State, because my thing with Ohio State is I've always loved the rivalry more than I have any negative feelings towards Ohio State. I think the third weekend of November is the third Saturday in November is the greatest day of the year. It's a day that fans of both programs should look forward to. But there is this, like, I guess it goes back to, I think maybe after the 21 game, probably when we, you know, or even maybe last year more so, is you know, I always wondered what would happen to their fan base and whatever the psyche when Michigan maybe won a couple games in a row. I wondered if they'd start to sort of cannibalize themselves a little bit. And I sort of think with the reaction you're seeing to this, you're sort of starting to see it like really shine through big time, because now they'll never, many of them, not all of, I don't know, maybe all, who knows, will never admit the, like, just, you know, it'll always be that Michigan didn't win these games like fair and square, even though I want to say, weren't they, was it Ohio State that was quoted as saying that they had changed their signs ahead of the game last year?
That is what they said.
Right.
So, I mean, it was forgotten pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was mentioned. But yeah, it just,
which, by the way, teams change their signs all the time. Freshman high school teams change their signs to like not get
right
got, I suppose.
not get got. But yeah, no, I just, you know, and I know it's been a rough season in East Lansing, so any anti-Michigan thing is going to make, you know, a lot of their representatives feel a lot better. So,
yeah.
But yeah, just pretty comical. It really wasn't a Charlie Chaplin disguise, but it was maybe pretty darn close from how it looks. Just a comical situation. So, but yeah, biggest thing is we don't know what it is, and once we do, then we can kind of sit down and actually have a rational discussion about this. So, should we talk Purdue? I mean, what, like,
yeah, know, for now, Michigan does have a football game on Saturday. We're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll preview that game and offer our score predictions for Saturday. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So, Steven, all the flurry, I feel like fans, like I'm noticing, you know, just the message board, social media, it's like it's almost forgotten that Michigan's playing a game this weekend. Part of it is because Purdue, they're 1-4 in the Big Ten, they're 2-6 overall. Might be competing with the Indianas and Michigan States in terms of worst teams in Michigan's Big Ten schedule this season. Pretty dreadful, but we're going to knock through some of these over-unders and talk about our thoughts on this game while we do so. First one, Michigan running backs have 5.5 rushes of at least 10 yards. So far this season, Purdue has allowed 42 of them. So that would be roughly about what Purdue does on average. And I guess like the key for me, I think the biggest thing Michigan can show this weekend that would have me thinking, yeah, they're ready to rock against Penn State. Cause I think they're there. I think they would beat Penn State. I'm not saying, you know, but the biggest thing that would be a sign that Michigan is really starting to hit the best version of itself or become the best version of itself out of the bye week, dominant run game. I think their run game has been decent all year. They're 40th nationally in yards per carry, but I still don't think that they have really hit the gear that they expected to hit. And at this point, 8 games in, coming off a bye week, everyone's fresh. The offseason operations on the running backs, they both missed spring ball. I mean, they've had time to recover and rehab. Offensive linemen have had time to gel. I think this is a week where Michigan can really show just how dangerous it can be in the late in the season, in the postseason, against the top tier opponents with a dominant run game. Purdue actually like a modestly decent run defense. You know, their coverage, pass defense not so great, offense not so great, but they've stopped the run decently well this season. So over-under is 5.5 rushes of at least 10 yards. I am going to take the over. That's a good number, though. I don't think it's going to be a ton over. I think Michigan realizes, like, this is an opportunity for them to get into their run game, to get into a rhythm, get comfortable, and maybe give Penn State's really good defense something to think about on film. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll take the over also. Michigan sort of do, yeah, to have maybe more of a what we'd call a...
We're a broken record on that one, aren't we?
Yeah, no, it does. But well, I didn't say Edwards specifically. I said the running game. But fair. No, I'll say over. I think because I agree with you. I still kind of wonder how much they've really actually tried to show in the running game. And this would be the week to start to unveil some of that stuff. You know, I feel like, because, yeah, heading into Happy Valley next weekend, Penn State, very good front seven defensively. So I'll take the over.
Yeah, I think there's some value to an element of surprise in terms of like the schematics, the blocking schemes, things like that. But you do want your players to be confident, and it's almost better to maybe have your players build confidence and kind of get Penn State mind rattling a little bit, thinking about what else they need to stop. So I think that's a focus. All right, next one. All wide receivers, not tight ends, have a combined 109.5 yards receiving. So no Colson Loveland, no running backs, no AJ Barner. I kind of think the over. I don't know. I'm Purdue, pretty good pass rush. One of the better ones Michigan has faced so far. In the last 4 games, they're providing pressure on 44.1% of opponents' dropbacks. Over the course of the season, it's 37%. Kydren Jenkins, probably he leads the Big Ten in pass rushing production and quarterback pressures this season. So he's good. They got a few other edge guys. Their interior is not bad either at providing pressure. So I don't know if Michigan, especially, you know, knowing how important J.J. McCarthy's health will be for the final 3 games of the season, I don't know if they're going to drop back and like really 7-step drop, aim and fire. But as long as Michigan can get the ball off, Purdue's secondary just brutal in coverage. I think the linebackers aren't that much better. I didn't even look that far because I saw the stats that the secondary was allowing, just not very good. And in Pro Football Focuses, they in their coverage grade, Purdue is 133rd out of 133 teams. So if there's a game to get Cornelius Johnson some big catches, if there's a game to maybe see what Samaj Morgan can bring you, see what Frederick Moore can give you, And obviously Roman Wilson has been good against everybody so far. 109, that's like hinting that Michigan will throw for 250 plus yards, because they are going to throw to their tight ends. They are going to throw to their running backs. I think I'm taking the over on this, though. Just Purdue does not have much in terms of lockdown corners or safeties who can cover. I think this is going to be an opportunity. Even though I just said I think they're going to try to, you know, really assert their dominance in the run game, yeah, I think the opportunities will be there, especially early in the game, in the pass game. So I'm taking the over. Steve, how about you?
You know, Roman Wilson still is not on the Biletnikoff watch list. There's like 60.
I was just going to ask how many
receivers and tight ends on the list, and they they've been adding names as the season continues, and he's not he's second in the country in touchdowns receiving.
And I know he doesn't have like the same yardage as teams that throw the ball 40 times a game, but it's not like he's been some chump. I mean, he's put up pretty good numbers. He's been a top five receiver easily in the Big Ten. I think he landed on a bunch of all Big Ten teams. Yeah.
And they added Cade Stover from Ohio State last week, who's had a great year for them. My response, I looked at that, I thought, well, then I looked because I'm like, am I missing something here? It's like, and I saw him and Colson Loveland have almost identical receiving statistics this year, and no Colson Loveland on there either. So it's all a big conspiracy. I'm kidding, obviously. Cade Stover should be on there. There are a lot of receivers on there that shouldn't be, though, that I saw. I did look up some stats, but either way, I'll take the over as well. I kind of feel the same way. Michigan, it's kind of hard to, and that's to their credit. It's been really hard to know who is going to excel the most in the passing game, right? I mean, look at what they did against Michigan State. I mean, that was totally tight end, driven. So, I'll take the over though. I agree. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to maybe work on that deep ball a little bit. And with the younger guys specifically, it'd be interesting to see, or even a Darius Clemens, you know, those type of guys.
I agree, especially coming out of the bye week and your tight ends, you already know, not that they're going to not use the tight ends, but like, you already know they can help you. If they're open, you can find them. I guess like the question would be, is JJ McCarthy, sometimes when a tight end has a game like AJ Barner had or Colson Loveland had, it's, you know, suddenly they become kind of the first people a quarterback's looking at when the play starts to fizzle or whatever. So maybe that's an option, but I just feel like they're going to be open, you know, just like I felt like the tight ends and running backs would be open against Michigan State. I feel like the wide receivers are going to be open against Purdue. All right. Last one on the offensive side, Michigan scores 12.5 points on its first three drives. I'm taking the over. That's 13 or more on the opening three drives. Got to think. I mean, Michigan obviously has been quiet about the investigation, but we talked about the frustration that they have to be feeling, that, you know, we imagine that they're feeling. You think the players are going into this matchup thinking, you know, just get a win, a gritty win's fine? No way. They know they can beat Purdue in 20 different ways, but they want to show the most impressive way. They want to do just as Jim Harbaugh told the players at halftime against Michigan State, leave no doubt. They want to hit the gas right away and just keep going up until 100. Not 100 points, but 100 miles an hour metaphorically. I think they score more than 13 points in the first three drives. How about you?
Yeah, I guess we're in agreement on all three of these, because I feel the same way. I think Purdue has to be the first recipient of a very angry guy. I got to assume one more very quick aside. I kind of like, I feel like all this crap, I think, like, might be a huge positive for the current team. I kind of feel like there's going to be a huge chip on the collective shoulder for Michigan this last month of the season. So we've seen how much they rally around Harbaugh. I mean, you think of
JJ. They love the Michigan against the world.
Yeah.
And Michigan against everybody.
And it mindset. Really, and now it feels like it's not contrived right now. I don't feel like so, or as contrived if it is, if it, you know, so This Saturday, this could be a fascinating game for that reason. Like, do they just come out gangbusters, or do they come out a little too tight, you know, because of everything? It's just kind of a fascinating, but I'll take
you don't want to, be like too jacked up, especially, I mean, depending on your position. Like, some positions, yeah, you want to be as fired up as possible. Some positions you do need to like keep your head,
right,
fulfill your assignment.
Well, I think you're thinking about up front, and I think that's where that'd be the least concern to have Michigan come out.
Right.
You know, very veteran
yep.
groups on both sides of the ball up front. It's to their benefit in that regard too, where, yeah, the positions where you don't want to necessarily come out with your hair on fire are the positions I think Michigan is least liable to. That and quarterback, you know, and we've seen JJ has played nearly flawless football this year. So I don't think it's much of a concern that I don't think they'd come out tight, but you know, we're not them. We haven't been in the locker room. We haven't been in Shep Beckler. We don't really know exactly the psyche of the team, but I do kind of feel like it'll be a positive overall for them.
Yeah. I think it's motivation. Hearing the player press conferences, hearing the player quotes this week, sounds like it's motivation. I mean, they're downplaying it. Obviously they're not like trying to get Michigan in trouble or say anything that's going to be spun the wrong way. But yeah, I think they embrace the Michigan versus everybody. And speaking for Michigan, it sure feels like it's Michigan versus everybody right now. I mean, it seems like, we're not getting into it again. All right, switching over to the defense. We don't have a ton of time, so we're just going to kind of fire through these. I might throw a couple facts in here and there. Purdue's leading rusher gains 39.5 yards. That's a low over-under. I think I might take the over, but I did want to point out Devin Maccabee and Hudson Card. Quarterback is Card. Maccabee's the running back. They are both among the top 10 in Power 5 ball carriers in fumbles. And I know I asked Jamie Morris, former Michigan running back. Maccabee has 7 fumbles this season. I asked him, how many fumbles could you get away with before you're benched for a few weeks? He said, if I fumbled twice, I was benched for a month. Didn't matter if I was leading the nation in rushing yards. If I fumbled twice, I was benched for a month. So the fact that they are down, that Maccabee has 7 fumbles and he's still the starting guy, and Ryan Walters said in his press conference this week, like, you know, he's still our guy. I think that tells you how much they've struggled in the run game. I'm taking the over, but I do think that will be, I don't think Purdue's going to run the ball super successfully. I just think someone could probably get to 40 rushing yards. All right, next one. Hudson Card completes 55% of his passes. I'm actually taking over on that one too, just because he's completing 79% of his passes less than 10 yards down the field. Beyond that, he's really struggling. So on third and long, I don't expect a high percentage, but can he get to 55% with a lot of the short range dink and dunk? You know, their pass catchers don't drop a ton of passes. I'm taking the over on the percentage. Last one, Michigan allows 299.5 yards from scrimmage. Definitely taking the under on that one. I that's high. Neil, what's up, man? You've been watching. I don't know what Purdue game you watched. I don't see a team that's going to get to 300 yards without some fluke junk plays in the fourth quarter, which could happen. But so I'm going over, under. I think Michigan's defense will have a field day. I just think particularly the completion percentage, I think Card is going to try to go above that. And I feel like their run game, just because they're so dependent on Maccabee and Tyrone Tracy, the odds that one of them or even Card on a scramble could get up to 40 feel pretty high. Steve, how about you?
For all three, I'm going to go under on leading rusher, under on Hudson Card. And then what was it, yards from scrimmage? 299? Yeah, no, like way
under. Isn't that high?
Way under.
I might shoot Neil a message, say, hey.
Yeah.
Dude, like, no, did you mean 199?
I had to like, wait, what? Yeah, under. For sure. Which, real, like, I think Purdue, like, I like Ryan Walters. I think he'll get Purdue on track eventually. You know, you see it in the NFL with Witherspoon's been great for Seattle. I think Kirby Joseph was a Illinois grad for the Lions. Mm-hmm. So
He was dealt a tough hand at Purdue, losing O'Connell, losing
big time
Charlie Jones, Durham.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Brome finally went back to, you know, they had a tough time reloading, kind of hard to reload at Purdue. I think it's like you talk about, yeah, Jamie Morris was probably going to get benched because there was probably, I don't remember, I was before my time, but I'm sure whoever was behind him on the depth chart was pretty darn good too, as great as Jamie
right,
Morris was.
Right,
you know, at Purdue, a little bit of a different situation, I would assume, but either, even then, like, seven fumbles is a ton. So, but yeah, and then prediction wise, real quick, I'll just go Michigan 44, Purdue 12.
Okay. I got to go with a prediction with no field goals because they are 3-for-10 on field goals this season. But I'm in a similar boat offensively. I'm going to say Michigan 45, Purdue. I was tempted about the shutout pick, but that's always a risky play. I'm going to say 7. I'm going to say 45-7, Michigan wins another. I mean, it's going to look very similar to, in my opinion, the other Big Ten blowout wins that they've had. You know, we can talk about maybe they keep the afterburners on in the fourth quarter, but they also know that they're playing Penn State next week. I mean, their true prove-it opportunity is next week against Penn State. I think Michigan wins pretty convincingly. Another all-phases success story. One small prediction, I think Michigan might get a return touchdown this week. This is one of the few weeks where I'm looking at it and saying, Purdue is outside the top 120 in hang time, both in kickoffs and punts. And they're not that great at distance either. I think this is one of the, write it down, I think this is one of those moments. But anyway, thank you so much for listening through this whole episode. I know we had a lot to say. Obviously, we'll have updates if there are meaningful updates on SignGate in future episodes. But for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. Be sure to check out the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan247Sports.com for inside scoops, for preview content, for breaking news. Check it all out there. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!